detailed, largest scope of prophecy in the Bible. Okay? There's a lot of prophecies, 300 prophecies that Jesus would come to Bethlehem and he would die for us. 300 fulfilled prophecies when we celebrate Jesus coming the first time. And all the place, but the timing of the prophecy we're going to look at tonight in Daniel chapter 9 is the most exact to the day prophecy in the Bible. And if you could learn it, I don't know that it will affect you now as much as it will strengthen your faith in God's word, because 175 years before this prophecy, okay, many of these were fulfilled, God gave it to Daniel and laid it out. That's why the book of Daniel is so hated. All right. So on the back of the sheet I gave you, it says the times of the Gentiles. Understanding that's how long since the Jews have been in captivity, Jerusalem has been trodden underfoot. It is not a world power like it was. It's going to be. It's where Jesus is going to reign from during the millennium. But right now, nobody is anti-Russian or anti-South American or even anti-American, but what do you call people that hate Jews? Anti-Semitic, right? It's the only worldwide title for a group of people that the world hates, okay? That a lot of countries hate the Jews, including a lot of people in America. The times of the Gentiles includes Israel being trodden underfoot, started with their captivity. Major part of the times of the Gentiles is the church. You see where the church is laid out there in Revelation 2 and 3. Starts with the church at Ephesus, and then it's prophesied through with Laodicea. See how the perilous times are close to the rapture? 2 Timothy chapter 3. The time will come where they will not endure sound. We're dealing with apostasy that the apostle Paul didn't deal with. We have our own set of problems. Amen? But we're dealing with people watching quit Christianity like has never happened before. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4. If you could understand that we're in the times of the Gentiles now, that tells you a couple of things. We're looking forward to the rapture. That gets us out of here, right? It's our blessed hope. Okay? Could happen any moment. I said last week, it could happen now or now. Or even now. Okay, I'll stop. All right. So if you know that the rapture is, that's what we're looking for. But if you knew everything is going just like God told Daniel it would, you say it's getting dark. It's getting more bloody, if you will. What'd they say before COVID? Did I say this on Sunday? The amount of athletes that would drop dead on the field in 1 year, you know, exercise, running, all that. I think it was between 19 and 23 a year. That, in other words, all worldwide. Since the vaccine, over 400 a year. Of course, we're hearing about it. You're watching it. But over 400 a year are dropping dead. So as we're starting to see death on a scale, I've never seen it like this before. And especially where when it happens, you're not supposed to talk about it. You're just supposed to accept it. You know, don't mention anything negative. Just stay positive. So what does that tell you? You say, Pastor, what do you think? We are in the times of the Gentiles. It's going to increase. And evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse. So things are going to get better before they, excuse me, things are going to get worse before they get better. You know what I mean? And so if you could know where you're at, right? Do you know the times that you're in? Then it helps you understand what's going on. In other words, the very fact that things are falling apart means things are coming together. You like that? Okay, that's easy to remember. Can you remember that? Okay, now, I put that on the back, the times of the Gentiles. That was what God gave Daniel, from the gold to the miry clay. 2,600 years, This is the progression. And it started with a murderer, Nebuchadnezzar. It ends with the Antichrist. Okay? The bloodiest man in history. And it just gets more and more inferior. If you could know, that is what God has told us. Amen. Next, now turn it over. Turn your sheet over. And let's start looking at Daniel's 70-week prophecy. And I tried to put everything on the paper that you would need to understand what you're getting ready to read. Okay? So I'm going to try to take you through a little journey, and all this information is not needed, but you know me, it's overkill, and so I'm that guy, all right? So I'll help you through this. Ready? Look at verse number 24. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. That's Israel, right? Verse number 20 says, that's the people of Israel, and upon thy holy city. That's not Washington, D.C., that's Jerusalem, right? We looked at that last week. Then it says here, Daniel 9:24, and we looked at the six reasons last week that this is there: to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. And what did we learn last week? Out of all six of those reasons, in verse 24, the church isn't there. We're not there in the tribulation period. Not in any one of those six reasons. And I kind of went through that with you last week. I won't rehash that this week. But all this is about their rejection of a Messiah. Israel rejected Jesus, delivered him to the Romans to be crucified. Okay? What I tell you last week? We have a head of the church. We have a Savior. We have a coming King that we're going to reign with, but we don't have a Messiah. That is for the Jews, right? Okay. So with this in mind, verse 24, then look at verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, first of all. So he says there's a certain point to go and rebuild Jerusalem. Would include the temple and the wall. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, right before Psalms, Ezra rebuilt, was used of God, Zerubbabel, to rebuild the temple first. Then Nehemiah comes along and builds the wall. Well, when you read Ezra and Nehemiah, you've got four decrees coming from Cyrus, Darius, and then Artaxerxes gives the last two. You say, preacher, there's four decrees in two books. Which one is where Daniel's 70th week starts? Okay, when you look at the first, y'all see the four lines that I got right there? See how the first line says Ezra 1, 5, 536 BC? Everybody see that? Okay, that was the first one. That decree was in Ezra chapter 1. And that was to return to Jerusalem from Babylon and to build the temple, but it wasn't to build the city. So it can't be it. See, if I could help you sort through these four decrees and let you know, where it starts, then all of this Seventh-day Adventists, the people that go to church on Saturday because they're all dorked up thinking they're Israel, they've got the wildest colors on the internet. When it comes to prophecy, I mean, if you want to see what a ten-headed dragon looks like with four horns on each head, they've got all the artwork. And they draw people in, but they're goofy. And when they look at Daniel's 70th week, it's never the time I'm going to tell you tonight. They're always off. And then they got to spiritualize it, and they got to lengthen it or turn it into something, or seconds to years to all of this other stuff. You don't have to do that. There's four decrees. The first one, as a matter of fact, go to Ezra 1 real quick. Go to Ezra chapter 1. We'll come right back. right before Psalms and Job. Okay. Now, when you're in Ezra 1, now we went through this a little bit, what, 3 years ago, as if I expect you to remember everything we go through. But when you read Ezra 1, you're right close to the end of 2 Chronicles 36, right? It's right across the page, or it's right on the other side. You do know, I'm going to tell you, the Jewish Bible ends with 2 Chronicles. So when a Jew that doesn't know about Jesus reads the Old Testament, the last thing they read is, look at the last verse. It says, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord is God. Be with him and let him go up." So guess what the last thing a Jew reads in their Bible? Get back to Jerusalem. That's the last thing they read in their Bible. Now, their Ezra and Nehemiah is in a different portion, but I just wanted to show you that when you start reading Ezra chapter 1 and you go from 2 Chronicles 36 to Ezra 1, you're going to read of Cyrus. Okay, look at Cyrus, look at verse 1. "Now, the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all the kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth." If you want the prophecy where this is found, it's Isaiah 44. So if Isaiah 44 is not in your reference Bible, that's what you would put next to Ezra chapter 1, verse 1, where Cyrus is mentioned. Because God said 200 years before this happened that Cyrus was going to come on, before he was ever born, a man named Cyrus is going to send my people back to Jerusalem. Okay, so right next to Ezra 1 there, put Isaiah 44, and that is really verse 28 is the prophecy there. And so you have this decree in Ezra 1. Okay, go back to Daniel chapter 9, and let's look at our chart here. You've got 536 BC when their captivity ended. That's not the decree. 519, Darius. He makes a decree in Ezra chapter 6. We won't look at that tonight. It's another decree. Then, in 458, Artaxerxes. What a name. Can you imagine him being as a kindergartner trying to fit that name in that short little space up at the top? Okay, never mind. Here we go. Ready? Artaxerxes, in Ezra 7, makes another decree, but it's just to build the temple. Okay? Here we go. March 14th, 445 BC, Artaxerxes' decree in Nehemiah chapter 2. That is where the 70 week starts. From that point, now we have the decree to go forth and build the city of Jerusalem, which is going to include the temple and the wall. Okay, everybody understands? So you got four decrees, and I just tried to help you and said in Nehemiah 2 is when Daniel's 70th week, that's when the timer went off. The clock is ticking. And it ticked, all right, for 69 weeks. And if we're going to understand that, I went through last week with you to show you 1 year equals one day equals 1 year, right? We went through Genesis, and we went through, put those verses on there. You see up there at the top, I said, when God's speaking prophetically about punishing his people, 1 day equals 1 year. And I give you the scripture that we went through last week. Okay? Now, that so that can make sense. From when you look at the chart there, it says 7 weeks in red or 49 years in blue. Right? So, let's read Daniel chapter 9, and let's watch this. Verse 25. "Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks." See how it's not 69 weeks, it's 7 weeks and 42. Excuse me. Yeah, 62 weeks. It's 62 weeks. It's 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It's not 69 weeks. That means to finish the temple and Jerusalem would take 49 years. That's how come you've got the first slot there. It'll take 1 week or 7, right? 7 weeks or 49 years. Then from the time it's finished till Jesus comes is another 62 weeks. Okay. Now let's look at how exact this is. Ready? It says the street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. Ezra and Nehemiah says they had the opposition, right? Had Sanballat and Tobiah and people trying to get them to stop building the temple and building the wall. And they finally finish it in 52 days. All right. And that's Nehemiah chapter 6. Look at verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And remember, we're the colon. Remember? Not tummy colon. I mean dot dot colon. Ha ha, that was a joke. Okay. So here we go. Your chart says from the time March 14th, 445 BC, when Artaxerxes said you can return, till Jesus was cut off, okay, that means where he was crucified, would be exactly 483 years, okay, 49 years plus 434, 69 weeks. Now, if you were to, you don't have to, and you need to thank the Lord, you don't have to figure out the days, okay, because you have to understand there was the Jews' calendar, which went on what? The moon. Then I put in on your chart there, the Julian calendar started in 46, right? 46, was that AD or, yeah, BC. So 46 years before Jesus came, a new calendar was started. It was called the Julian calendar. Okay. Then in the 1500s, one of the popes decided, let's do a sun-based calendar, and it's called the what? What type of calendar do we use now? A Gregorian calendar. Okay? From the Roman calendar, we get the names of, somebody said, oh, January and February. That's why it's so goofy when they say, oh, if you go to church on Sunday, you're worshiping the sun god. You realize all of the months and the days are named after the Roman gods and their idolatry. Okay, so I don't know why they solo out Sunday. And it comes from paganism. The whole calendar. We're in a Gregorian calendar now. Okay, it's been that way for what? For the past 600 years? Okay, 600 plus. So, here we go. We do a leap year every 4 years, right? You tell them to pay close attention to it. We do a leap year every 4 years. Okay. In the Jewish calendar in your Bible, if you were adding up the days of 69 years, okay, right? Every month had 30 days. There wasn't 30, 31, 30, 28, 30, 31. It wasn't that way. In the Bible, it's 30 days times 12 months, 360 days a year, all based on the moon. And they didn't have to do a leap year. That's just the way, I don't know why you would change that, but I guess they did. So if you were adding up 1,069 years, or 1,000, what's it say on your chart? 173,880 days from March 14th, 445 BC until April 6th, I believe I put it on there, 33 AD is exactly 69 years, or the exact to the day, and only God could do that, right? That's what makes that prophecy so amazing. It is to the day. And that's why it's always tried to be explained away. But if you're going to do all that, you had to add the foundation of what calendar are we in? And then how did in your Bible, how does the calendar line up? 30 days a month and all of this stuff. So I tried to give you a little bit there. And then here we go. Go back to Daniel chapter 9. We were in verse 26. Ready? And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. What a beautiful phrase. Jesus died. And that's how come the Jews were expecting this king, and they were told he was going to reign. But in Daniel's prophecy, they're saying you have a king that's coming that's going to die. And it's not, if they would have read more prophecy, Jesus said, you do greatly err not knowing the scriptures. The reason you missed me is because you don't read your Bible. I told you I was coming and I told you what I was going to do. You're just biblically illiterate. Well, here we go. When they did read it, so a Messiah is going to come to reign for 1,000 years, but he's going to die. They couldn't. I was hard to put together. But it's still a neat statement. Messiah will be cut off, but when he dies, it won't be for himself. It'd be for what? The sins of the world. It'd be for the sins of mankind. And you have that date there and that day. And then watch this. Then we are the church age. Or let's look at that on your chart there. Or the undetermined time. Okay, why would I put Ephesians chapter 3 in between the cross and the tribulation period? We're the church age. That's where we're at. Kind of gave you a little more detail on the other side. Here we go. I don't think this is over everybody's head, but you do got to stay with me. The church age is a mystery. It says in Ephesians 3, this idea of Gentiles and Jews not mattering, if you're saved, you're in the church, right? Okay. This idea of Jews and Gentiles being in one body because Jesus saved them, where it doesn't matter anymore. Doesn't matter if you're a Jew. Doesn't matter what your family is or where you come. It only matters if you've trusted Jesus as your Savior. If you're in the church, that's something that wasn't revealed in the Old Testament. We could go to Ephesians 3 tonight, but that's why it's under the church. This whole concept of having somebody that doesn't have to go through the rituals, or you say, what rituals? See a priest and circumcision and sacrifices and all of that. All you have to do is place your faith in the God who created you and died for you. And then you are rebirthed into his family. He becomes your father. And then you can assemble with people who've been rebirthed and born again. That's Ephesians 3:3-6. It's a mystery. Nothing about the church is in the Old Testament. Nothing. We're not there. That's why it's a mystery. It's revealed in the New Testament. It was not revealed in the Old, but it's revealed in the New. That's why Ephesians 3 is there. And here we go. I'll go over it again. It's an undetermined period of time. Remember where the colon in the verse doesn't say how long. There is no prophecy about how long it's going to be from the time Messiah dies on the cross and when the tribulation period starts. There is no. I told you before, 2,000 years ago, since Jesus rose again from the dead, we've always been 7 years from his second coming, right? Because the rapture could take place at any moment, then the tribulation for 7 years happens, and then Jesus comes. When the rapture happens, they'll know when Jesus is coming. They're the ones that are going to know the signs and the times. Amen. Somebody said, well, you can know the signs of Jesus. Acts chapter 1 says, no, you can't. You don't know the signs and times of the rapture. Amen? But think about it. When we're out of here, the Jews that get saved, that read their Bible, will know Jesus is coming in 7 years. Because it's Daniel's 70th week. They'll know, wow, the timer just began. We got 7 years of literal hell on the earth, right? they're 144,000 and all that. They'll know they have 7 years, and they'll know. We're the ones that don't know when Jesus is going to appear and call us home. But the Jews will know. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so here we are in the church age, right? The undetermined period of time. Now, let's go back to your Bible. Go Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 26. I'm going to start reading it again, but you know where we're at. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And watch this closely. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city. So after Jerusalem is destroyed, and Jesus said that would happen, not one rock will be left on another. Okay? God's going to clean house in Jerusalem. He's going to level the whole city. That takes place in 70 AD. We put it on your chart there. When Titus comes through with 4 legions of Roman soldiers and levels Jerusalem. Everybody knows that's 70 AD. Okay? Now here we go. That little phrase, the prince of the people that shall come, is where everybody thinks the Pope is going to be the Antichrist. Okay? I think you can follow me on this, but it says, remember, see, I put here 70 AD, destruction of Jerusalem, and I put Daniel 9:26 where it's prophesied, and then Jesus refers to that time. Okay? Here, Matthew 24:2 is when he said there will not be one stone left upon another. So, you've got this destruction time period. Well, who's the prince of the people that shall come? Who's going to come and level Jerusalem? The Romans, right? That's why people say, okay, well, if they're coming from Rome, then it's got to be the prince. That's in reference to the Antichrist. Well, then the Antichrist has to be from Rome. I'm telling you, that's the verse they use right there, okay? But if you read the works of first of all, if you didn't know anything else, everything on the internet, that's what you're going to hear. The prince of the people that shall come, the Romans, level Jerusalem, so the prince or the Antichrist must be from Rome. Well, then it's got to be the Pope. Okay. Remember I've told you, how could a white dude be the Antichrist? He's going to have to look like a Jew. He's going to have to, the Antichrist is going to have to be a Muslim, olive-skinned, posing as a Jew with false records, right? The Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And he's going to have to be able to stand up and say, I am the Messiah from Judah. And he'll have false records and everything. Falsified, you can trace my lineage back to Judah. We're out of here, right? Chaos is all over the world, and they're trying to, and the Antichrist is going to step forward and saying, I am the Messiah. Well, it ain't going to be a white dude, because a white dude ain't a Jew. I'm saying that in a nice way. It would have to be an olive-skinned person. That's why I know it ain't the Pope. I don't care if you put shoe polish on the Pope's face, it ain't going to be the Pope. Now, let me help you make some sense out of it. The prince of the people that shall come, Rome will come and level Jerusalem. But who's the prince? What people really? When you read the works of Josephus, he was a Jewish historian. It's a 4-volume set. I've got it in my office. Book 5 talks about Titus coming through. Well, think with me just for a second. You got a map of Europe pictured in your head, and you got Jerusalem here. Here, let me draw it for you. You got a Mediterranean map. You got Greece. You've got, remember the boot? You know what the boot is, right? That's Italy, okay? So here's Rome. Here's Jerusalem. Well, Rome's had enough of the Jews in Jerusalem causing their uprisings. So Titus takes a small army and goes all the way across, and when he comes down in Syria, remember where Antioch is and right around there? If you were moving an army across a continent, you wouldn't take a whole bunch. It'd take a lot of food. the Roman soldiers had, I guess you could say, forts or dispatches or groups of people all throughout the empire. And if they were fighting over here, they'd send a commander and a group of, I don't know, it's just for a group of lieutenants would go with them and a small group, and then they would gather their army to fight these guys. But if they were fighting across the empire over here, they would take a small group out of Rome, and then they would gather their army to fight over here. You didn't travel huge armies across. It was just, it didn't make any sense. So who's the prince of the people that shall come? Josephus says that when Titus left Rome with his small band and they got over to Syria, they gathered four legions of soldiers, because Jerusalem was just 4 days' journey south. So who sacked and destroyed Jerusalem? Syrians, Turks. I wrote it. I think I put it. Here we go. People of the prince that shall come were four legions of Syrians, Turks, and Arabs fighting for the Roman Empire. So who is going, where is the Antichrist going to come from? Number one, 2 Thessalonians 2 says, nobody here knows, you know, remember when Obama was president, we'd knock on doors. Somebody would say, can I ask you a question? Do you think Obama's the Antichrist? I mean, I know I was asked that four times, okay? No, the Antichrist, I think, is alive right now, but nobody knows who he is. But where will the Antichrist be coming from? The one that will promise protection to the Jews. We're out of here. We're in the rapture. We're in heaven. This evil person who's going to be the devil incarnate, he comes on the scene. Where is he coming from? He's coming from the same place the people came that leveled the city the first time in 70 AD, Syria. You say, are you sure? I put some verses in Isaiah right there. Can we just look at one of them, and then you can look at the rest of them? Look at Isaiah chapter 5. I'm sorry, Isaiah chapter 10. Look at verse 5. Isaiah chapter 10. Okay. Isaiah chapter 10. Look at verse 5. Ready? Okay. Oh, Assyrian, the rod of mine anger and the staff in their hand is mine indignation. Whenever you see Assyrian in Isaiah, you'll see it eight times. That is the Antichrist. The Antichrist is called the Assyrian eight times in the book of Isaiah. I give you the verses right there. Okay? Remember, that's how come we keep saying, and that's how come you keep hearing, as the world, as the platform gets ready for the Antichrist to come, we keep saying, watch Turkey, watch Turkey. Now, you know who Erdogan is? I don't think Erdogan is the Antichrist, but he is laying a great foundation. Turkey has the second largest army in NATO. They are a force to be reckoned with. Watch Syria. You say, why Turkey? Because if you look at the map, Assyria and Turkey, the old Assyrian Empire, included part of Turkey. So that's why when I take the verses in Isaiah that say Assyrian, God's rod of his anger, who is God going to use to spank Israel? Remember to finish the transgression, right? The Antichrist. What is the tribulation period? It's God's judgment on the Jews, on Israel, right? So who does God, here, you're in Isaiah chapter 10, you saw verse 5, Assyrian, that's an Old Testament picture of the Antichrist. Look at verse 24. Yeah, look at verse 24. Ready? It says here, therefore thus saith the Lord, God of hosts, or armies, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrian. He shall smite thee with a rod and shall lift up his staff against thee after the manner of Egypt. God is telling his people, I'm going to use the Assyrian to whip the fire out of you. That's the tribulation period. six more times, and I put them there. We don't have time to look at it tonight, but six more times God calls the Antichrist the Assyrian. How come? Because he's going to come from Syria. Or you could say modern day Turkey. Okay? That's why I lean towards, no, I don't think the Antichrist is going to be the Pope. I think that's a goofy thought. It ain't going to be a white dude. Okay? It's going to be a Muslim posing as a Jew. Because who's in Syria today and who's in Turkey? It's Muslim. And it ain't going anything different anytime soon. They're not getting ready to change what they are. It's going to be Muslim. Name all the countries in the Old Testament that God's going to destroy that aren't a Muslim nation today. And you can't. Every one of them is Muslim. What's the fastest growing religion in the world? Islam. Has been, I think, for about 12, 15 years. Yeah, it's Islam. Looks to me like the Antichrist is going to be Islam, posing as a Jew, lying. And then when he gets to that 3.5 year period, he breaks that covenant with Israel of protection. And then the rest of the tribulation period, he hunts Jews. It's to exterminate God's people. That's the whole purpose. That's what the Antichrist does. The water that flows out of the dragon's mouth. And we looked at that in Revelation. Won't look at that again tonight. But everybody see, the people of the prince that shall come is going to level the city. Well, he did that in 70 AD, but that was a picture of what the Antichrist is going to do, right? During the tribulation period while we're up in heaven. Okay? I don't think this is so heavy anybody can. I know it's heavy, but I think this is followable. Okay? I don't think I lost anybody. Let's finish the 70 weeks here. Okay? I'm trying to help you work your way through it so you can make sense of it. I think you should understand it. Now go back to Daniel chapter 10. I'll let you look up the other verses there on the Assyrian and how he's the Antichrist. Look, you know what I do with stuff like this? If you kept every paper I gave you in your Bible would explode. Okay? You can't. I put what I'm giving you. If you looked in my Bible is marked. So guess what? When I come to the book of Daniel again, I can read it and I don't have to reinvent the wheel. It helps me with my Bible. Does it pertain necessarily to me? No, I'm going to praise God, be out of here. We're going to be out of here. But it lets me know what's going on. Amen. We know what's going on. So here we go. Go back to Daniel chapter 9. Look at verse 26. Okay, we started with the people of the prince that shall come. That's the Syrians, Turks, and Arabs. Shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. I thought that was interesting. Yes, it happened in 70 AD, 2,000 years ago, you could say. But when it happens, when the Antichrist does it, it will be with a flood. And what is the dragon? The Antichrist is the dragon in Isaiah and Revelation 12. And remember, I just told you, he chases the woman that had a son, that's Israel, with water that's coming out of his mouth, right? With a flood of persecution. Ties Daniel and Revelation together a little bit there. Okay? The old statement, you couldn't understand all of Revelation without Daniel, and you couldn't understand all of Daniel without Revelation. They really do tie together. Okay? That's verse 26. And it says here, verse 27, and he, here we go, the Antichrist, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. 1 day equals 1 year, right? So the Antichrist comes on the scene and he says, I'll protect you from all the Muslim countries for 7 years. That's what he's going to tell. He's going to make a covenant with Israel. I'll protect you. The Muslims won't. Right now, what have they said? They want every Jew pushed into the Mediterranean and they want to watch them die. Israel is Satan, according to Iran. I don't care, Sunni, Shia, whatever Islamic you're talking, they hate Israel. Some Isn't that sad? We just gave Iran, what, $2.4 billion this week? As if we didn't, them give, Obama giving them how many millions did he give on a pallet of cash give, but right before he got out? At any rate, okay, back to the story. He shall make a covenant for 1 week. And then it says, in the midst of the week, okay, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. Now, if I wanted, we're not going to do it tonight, but if I wanted two verses next to verse number 27 to help me understand the abomination that's made desolate, I would put 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and then I would put Matthew 24. That needs to be right next to verse 27. So you say, why? Because what's he going to do in the middle of the week on the earth? Okay, here, remember 2 Thessalonians 2 and Matthew 24. Okay, should be right next to the last verse there in chapter 9. What happens while we're in heaven? On the earth for 3.5 years. The first 3.5 years is not anybody who thinks you're going through the tribulation period. I told you before, we did the math last week. 2 billion people die. Then a third more die. Then, nobody is going through the tribulation period, okay? The 144,000 in Revelation 7 start on the earth. And then what we read in Revelation 14, all 144,000 are in heaven. They start, there's a lot of death. No, nobody's going through the stupid tribulation. And definitely not us. Amen? So, on the earth, through that first part of the tribulation, the Antichrist is protecting Israel. What's going on up in heaven? Revelation 13, Satan is cast out of heaven. Because where's Satan now? In heaven. That's what's going to shock a lot of people when they get to heaven. Revelation 12:11 says he is before the throne right now, accusing the brethren night and day. Satan's position is in heaven as the accuser. Okay. Look at Revelation 12:11. Okay. I promise you it makes sense. Here we go. Shall we? You're encouraging me. Okay. Here we go. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Revelation. Okay. It says here, look at verse 10. Ready? Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, that's the devil, is cast down. He's cast out of heaven, which accused them before our God day and night. So until you get to the middle of the tribulation period, where's the devil right now? He can walk to and fro in the earth. Says that in Job chapter 1. And he has access to the throne of God where he accuses the brethren. Okay? That will be one of the things that shocks people when they get to heaven. Amen? One, that they're there. Wow, I made it. Next will be glory. Look at, there's God, there's the, and then there's Satan. Accusing the brethren. He's not running through heaven having a heyday. He's lying about the Christians that are here on this. Did you see what he did, God? Bet you're glad you saved him. Did you hear what he said? Look where he's going. Look at that. He's accusing the, that's all Satan does in heaven. In the middle of the tribulation period, he's cast out. Right? Michael and the devil have a war, and the Satan is thrown out of heaven, and he comes down to this earth, and he embodies the Antichrist, and he becomes Satan incarnate, a spiritual being with a fleshly body, and he breaks that covenant, not protecting any more Jews, And then the butchery and cannibalism begin. That's why all those verses that talk about in Psalm, who eat up my people. That's literal. The Antichrist and his minions are going to be hunting Jews to kill them and eat them during the tribulation period. That is the great tribulation, 3.5 years. But he breaks that covenant, and then he becomes the man of sin that he is. Amen. Like Jesus called him, like he's called in 2 Thessalonians. So here we go. We're running out of time. So go back to Daniel chapter 9. Here we go. 2 Thessalonians said he's going to go into the temple, just like we looked in Daniel chapter 8. Remember Antiochus Epiphanes? Okay. Antiochus Epiphanes the IV, he's the 8th ruler that comes after Alexander the Great, and he goes into the temple and smears pig broth. Jews can't eat pigs, right? They don't eat pork. Smears pork blood and broth all over the inside, sits on the altar of the Jews and declares himself to be God. That was in the times of the Greeks, right? What's the Antichrist going to do in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? He's going to be in the temple of God, sitting on the throne of God, declaring himself that he is God. But he'll be Satan incarnate. Where are we? We're up in heaven. Okay, so God is giving Daniel a picture of all of this. I just think this is amazing. 2,600 years before it takes place. And it is, if he was exact on the 173,880 days or 69 years, and it went to the day, you know everything's going to happen, just like God is saying. Strengthens the faith in your Bible. Amen. You're in Daniel chapter 9. Let's wrap this up. Ready? Here we go. Daniel chapter 9. Look, let's just finish. I'm going to start the verse 27 again. And he, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, 7 years. And in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease. You're not going to sacrifice animals anymore. You're going to sacrifice to me. He's going to declare himself God. And for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate. He's going to start killing all the Jews, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Desolate's mentioned twice, right? Isn't it interesting? When the Antichrist is making desolate in Israel and declaring war on the Jews, the wrath of the Lamb, desolation will be poured out by God Almighty, like we read in the book of Revelation. You've got the desolation of the Antichrist and the wrath of the Lamb judging the whole earth. Where are we? We're in heaven getting ready to come back with the Lord. It's going to be awesome. Remember I told you I'll get a horse? Isn't that going to be great? I don't know if it's going to be a black one, Caitlin. I don't know that, okay? Just pray, all right? I think it's going to be white, though. Not that black horses are bad, but all right, here we go. So you've got, there is what, on paper, I think you would need for Daniel's 70th week to make sense. One more thing. That 7-year period, all that it's called, all that we know about it, 7 years, while we're in heaven, how do you know? Remember I told you this before? How do you know we're not going through the tribulation period? Number one, I put on your piece of paper there, it's called Daniel's 70th week. It's for his people, Israel. Next, it's called the tribulation in Deuteronomy 4:30. If you had time, you could read the verse where the word tribulation is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, and it is to God's people. Okay? Next, it is the time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, verse 7. What did Jacob have his name changed to? Israel. It's the time of Jacob or Israel's trouble, not the church. We're not going through the tribulation period. It is, and then Revelation, those chapters there teach that's when the one world government is going to happen. That's when the one world economic system is going to be put into place and destroyed in Revelation, then that's also going to be where the one world church. Okay? So, that's Daniel 70. How does that apply to us? It just lets us know. I like what somebody said. A Christian, as you read your Bible, is the only person on planet Earth that knows where he comes from, where he's going, and what he's supposed to be doing till we get there. We know how it all turns out. Remember Revelation chapter 2? What do you think is going to happen to Russia? God already said, they're getting crushed. What do you think is going to happen to China and Taiwan? God already said, he's going to crush them. Now let's get real. What do you think is going to happen to America? It's going to get crushed. All kingdoms of the earth will be crushed. And that stone cut out without hands that comes out and smashes all the other empires is going to rule forever. We can either watch what's going on in the world and all the chaos, or just keep your eyes on the stone. Amen. We know he's taking it all. Amen. It's really a truth of victory for us. We know what's coming. That's why I put on the back of it. I will say this. I loved Revelation. It blessed my heart. This study on Daniel showing what God said is going to be happening has probably put, it has just helped me so much. Because one, there's nothing we're going to do to change it. It's going to get worse. I pray, amen. I want to be faithful. And you know what? God knew all of us would be here at this time. Amen. We got to be born this time, this close. Amen. So I'm just like, Lord, you know where we're at. Help us. Use me while we're here. And when you're ready, I know I'm going home. Amen. We're supposed to enjoy that. Those verses on trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. None of the turmoil in the world. We're getting ready to go war with Taiwan or Ukraine's making an offensive and they're gaining ground. No, they're not. And besides that, you know what I really say? Who cares? You ain't changing nothing. And if you could call the White House, they don't care what you think. they might not even take a message. You're not going to change anything of what's going on. God knows where we're at. We're in the times of the Gentiles. We know wars and death is getting ready to escalate. But amen, we're on the winning side. Amen. And God, and watch this. When you get worried, I heard one person saying, some of this just makes me so nervous. When do you give it to the Lord? Casting your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Amen. Just give your cares to the Lord and enjoy life. I was walking outside today, you know, me and my negative spirit. I did. I walked out to get the mail and the wind was blowing. And I was like, wow, what's going on? And finally it hit me. I just thought, do you ever praise God, you little stinker? And I just said, look at the beautiful sunshine. And the wind is like, I thought, why don't you just praise God? Amen. Rather than, well, who's playing with the weather? What are the Russians doing now? you ain't going to change that either. Just go ahead and praise God and enjoy the Lord. Amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you.